Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nazir Daf Lamed Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 8 lines from the top of Daf Lamed Ches. Before we begin the actual Gemara, we glance at the side of our page. You will notice a nosei, a topic heading, and we've written Asora Dine Mashkin B'Shiur Revius, 10 laws that are related to liquids. These 10 laws have in common the quantity of a revius. A revius is a liquid measure. 10 different legal points that have as their legal measure, their shiur, a revius. As we continue on the side of our Gemara, you notice a mivne, a structural note. A diamond appears, highlighting the expression sumkisa, and we have hey meaning 5 sumkisa. Sumka means red. 5 liquids that have a red hue to them, and hey chivra. So chivra means white or clear, as opposed to red. Now the Gemara. Omar Rebbe Lozer, Eser Revios Hain. There are 10 halachas concerning liquids that measure a revius. V'nokit Rav Kahana biyodei, and Rav Kahana literally takes in his hand, means he presents chomesh sumkisa v'chomesh chivrisa. In order to clarify or categorize, he says there are 5 that are red, and that means they're liquids like wine and blood, and 5 chivrisa, 5 that are clear or light, meaning like water, oil. The point continues. Notice we have a long marking on the side. This long point indicates that all of these lines of the Gemara are dedicated to presenting the 10 different laws. So, Chomesh Sumkisa, the 5 that are red include the following, and we've numbered them. These are simply headings. We call them a simon, a way to remember them, and then afterwards the Gemara will systematically go through each one. So if you scan ahead, you can see we continued the numbering system throughout the next few lines. So what are the 5 headings? Nozir v'oise pesach shehoiru b'mikdosh umesu. In and of themselves, these words don't mean too much, but with the explanation, they will become clearer. Nozir, revius, yayin lenozir. We've dashed underlined the word revius each time it appears, being that that's our theme. A revius measure of wine is the amount that if a nozir were to drink it, he would be in violation of his nazirus. Oise pesach. This has to do with the holiday of Passover. The Omer of Yehuda Omer Shmuel, Arba Kaisis Halalu, the 4 cups of wine that we drink during the Pesach Seder, Tzorech Shie Bohen Kedei Revius. Altogether, they would have a measure of a revius of unadulterated, undiluted, pure wine. When we prepare wine for drinking, we'll add 3 parts water to 1 part wine, so that if you have a revius for all 4 cups, each cup would have a quarter of a revius, and we would then add water to that quarter of a revius, each cup then being a revius of beverage. But when the Gemara here says that the 4 cups must have a revius, as we said, a total of a revius of undiluted wine, and then when you prepare it for drinking, each cup would have a revius of beverage with a, as we said, a quarter of a revius of undiluted wine per cup. Shehoru, horu means to rule. Shosu revius yayin al yoref, a person, if a judge had consumed a revius of wine, that will influence his clarity of thought, and he can therefore, and therefore he is restricted from issuing rulings. B'mikdash shosu revius yayin v'nichnas l'mikdash chayav misa. If a person drank a revius of wine and then entered the Beis HaMikdash, he would be guilty of doing avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, a Kohen who was intoxicated, and that's defined by having drunk a revius of wine. He would be guilty of this Torah offense of not serving in the Beis HaMikdash while intoxicated. And as we said, that's defined by this shiur of having drunk a revius of wine. Regarding this halacha, let us read together the Rambam, Hilchus Bias HaMikdash, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph. Just a few lines of that particular halacha. Kol Kohen HaKosher LaVoidah, any Kohen who's fit to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. Im shoso yayin, osu lo likones min ha-mizbeach v'lifnim. He cannot enter the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash from the point of where the altar stands and inwards. V'im nichnas v'ovad avoidoso psulo v'chayav miso bidei shamayim. If he entered, but not just entering, but he also served in a Kohen capacity, doing the Avodas HaMikdash, the service of the temple, in that state, not only is the service that he performed unacceptable, but Chayav Misa B'dei Shemayim, he's liable to death at the hands of heaven. Shenemar V'lo Somusu. That is a quote from the Pasuk, and the Rambam goes on with further details. But what our goal was to see from the Rambam what the prohibition is. It would appear then you have a twofold prohibition. One is a prohibition of entering the Beis HaMikdash from the altar inwards. That in and of itself wouldn't carry with it the Misa B'dei Shemayim, but a Kohen who would enter and also do the Avodas HaMikdash, the temple service in that state, that would, as the Gemara says, bring upon him the Chiyuv Misa, the penalty of death at the hands of heaven. The next, number five, Umesu. That, again, was one of our headings regarding the revius of red. Desanya, minayin the revius dam, shiyotza mishnei mesim shumetame boyo. From where do we know that a quantity of one revius of dam that comes from two corpses, that it communicates defilement of the dead? Be'ohel means under the same, when you and this quantity of blood are under the same overhang, overshadowing, in the same room, it would impart tumas ohel, defilement. Shenemar ve'al kol nafshis meis lo yovoy. That's a pasuk, and the pasuk is in the plural, nafshis meis. Nafshos, that is mashma, two dead people, two corpses from which you extracted one revius. That means that per dead person, you don't have a full revius. In general, we understand that a revius of blood extracted from a corpse communicates tumas meis, just like a body, just like a complete limb would. So too a revius of dam. The chiddush of this halacha is that even if the one revius comes from two dead people, there would be tumas meis. Now, this point, let's just point and mention that there is a machlokes tanoim. This opinion is that of Rabbi Akiva. The Rabbonon disagree, and they say that a revius of dam will mitame only if it comes from one body, not if the one revius is made up of representative blood from two bodies. The Gemara continues. V'chomesh chivrusa. Again, we have a simen, and we're going to number them like we did just before, 1 through 5, and then after reading the headings, go through what each one is. So the siman is, the siman is a mnemonic device, a way to remember things easily. The following, chalas, nozir, umetzora, shenifsalu, b'shabas. It's interesting to note that nozir appears here, just like it appeared in the list of five red. We'll see what we mean. Number one, chalas, what is that? Revius, shemen, l'chala. Revius is a measure of oil in this case, and the reference to challah, this is a halacha concerning the loaves of bread that are brought together with a todah offering. The todah offering is a type of shlomim that has accompanying with it 40 loaves. The dough that's used to, let's say, the amount of flour that's used to prepare the 40 loaves is split half into chometz loaves and half into matzah loaves, meaning non-fermented, unleavened bread, unfermented dough. So it's split. However, in terms of the number 40, 10 of them, which represents half the flour quantity, are chometz. The other half of the flour quantity is used for matzah, but 30 matzah loaves. Now, of those 30 matzah loaves, there are three kinds of matzah loaf preparation. By the way, just for the record, when we say matzah, it doesn't necessarily mean a very thin cracker-like baked good that we're used to when we eat the matzah on Pesach. The main point is that we're dealing with baked goods that were not left to ferment, not left to, we'll say, to rise. But it could be, in and of itself, thick. That's a parenthetical point, which is discussed at greater length in Maseches Psochim and also in Maseches Menachos. We are focusing right now on the 30 non-chometz loaves of the Korban Todah. With that background, let's look in the Tosfos. Chalas Revius Shemen, B'chalos Todah Mairi. We're talking about the loaves that accompany the Todah sacrifice. Shehoyu bo shlosha minim mimatzah. There were three kinds of loaves that were matzah. Asora chalos, 10 were called chalos, asora revuchin, 10 were called revuchin, vasora rikikin, and 10 that were called rikikin. And each one had a different method of preparation. Uteunin chatsi lug, they require a half lug. That means all 30 matzah loaves, you would have a total of a half lug. A lug is a liquid measure. A half lug would be assigned to the 30 matzah loaves. V'omar v'chotzehu chetzil rikikun l'chalos. Half of that chatzi lug, which of course is a quarter lug, and that's what we're looking for because we're dealing with the revius measure. Revius meaning a quarter of a lug. So a quarter of a lug would be for the rikikun l'chalos v'chetzil l'revucha. And the other half of that chatzi lug, the other quarter lug, would be used for the revucha loaves. So, with that in mind, we go back to the Gemara with the understanding of chalas, meaning revius shemen lechala. Nozir, revius shemen le nozir. The nozir, upon completion of his nazirus, he brings a korban, korban shlomim, amongst others, accompanying which there are 20 loaves. The 20 loaves just so happen to be chalos and rekikin. So in the Tosfos that we saw just before, we noticed that for the rekikin and chalos, a quarter lug of oil was assigned for their preparation, for the 20 loaves, rekikin and chalos. In the nozir, the total number of loaves that he brings, in fact, are 20, also chalos and rekikin. Hence, you see a revius of oil for that. So we continue in the Gemara number 3, Mitzora, revius mayim lemitzora. A mitzora, a person who experienced a type of skin discoloration which leads to tumah at the completion of his defilement period, a ceremony takes place, and he slaughters one bird, and one bird remains alive, and he immerses the living bird in a water blood mixture, the blood having been the blood of the other bird. We mentioned there were two birds that the mitzora brings, and the one of the birds are slaughtered over water drawn from a live spring. And how much? There's not much blood in a bird, and when the bird is slaughtered, the blood flows into a container, a receptacle holding water. And what our goal is that after the blood mixes with the water, the blood should be recognizable. It should be redness to the water. But don't make mistake here. We're focusing on the water quantity. So the issue is, how much water is necessary for the blood of the bird to still be recognizable? So if you have, let's say, a gallon of blood, or 5 gallons of blood, that you can imagine the amount of blood in a little bird wouldn't be recognizable. So we're going down to a size of an amount of water where the blood will start to be recognizable when mixed with the water. And how much water is that? A revius. A revius of water for the mitzora purification process. Shenifsalu. Disnan ushar kol hamashkin temein poislenes agvia berevius. One who drinks liquid that became tome, that became defiled. So there's a rabbinic law that tome liquid will impart defilement to a person. The source that we just read said poisonous agvia. Gvia is a word meaning a body, a person, an individual. So all kinds of liquids that became defiled, water and oil and other kinds of liquids that are subject to defilement. And here we're dealing with the white or the clear category. Hence, we have this halacha taught as example number 4. Number 5, b'Shabbos. Where does revius figure into the laws of Shabbos? So the Gemara will introduce a source that's found in the context of carrying, transferring items from one domain to another, which is forbidden on Shabbos, carrying something from a public domain into a private domain or vice versa. This is prohibited on a Torah level. However, the item that you are transferring must be something of significance. If, for example, someone has a little dust in his pocket that's accumulating in the crease within one's pocket, and he walks from a private domain into a public domain without airing out his pockets from the dust that accumulated, he has not violated anything, because the grains of dirt or dust that have accumulated inside one's pants pocket has no significance. So the laws of Haitzah, of Shabbos, of carrying from one domain to another, require that the item being transferred has some significance. Where and what? So every item has to be evaluated on its own. Now, we're dealing with liquids, and the source says, Disnan Ushar Kol Hamashkin Bervias. After specifying certain details in Maseches Shabbos, well, other kinds of mashkin, one will be guilty if he carries a revius of them from one domain to another. V'chol ha-shoifchin b'revius. Shoifchin is wastewater. Wastewater has value, and you can look into Maseches Shabbos to discover what exactly is it useful for, but if you have a revius of it, it will be the cause of guilt for Haitzah on Shabbos. Now the Gemara asks, Vesulek, are there no others? And you'll notice triangles used in the word V'ha'ika is highlighted. On the side where we had our Mivna, our structural note, a triangle appears. They are V'ha'ika, Kushios. These are questions. Royim Diesh Yoisim Asura Dinim Berevius. We'll say there's more than a total of 10 laws in which a Revius figures. So the Gemara asks, are there no others? Vilika May Revius Notlim Leodayim Liechod Vafilu Lishnayim. Notlim Leodayim, many of you are familiar with Natilis Yodayim. Before eating bread, we have a rabbinic law that necessitates the washing of one's hands from a vessel where one pours water over his hands in order to enable him to eat the bread. It's a form of purification. There's, of course, quite a bit of explanation required why it's necessary, under what circumstance, etc. But for our purposes, I'm sure everyone is familiar with this practice, and how much water do you need for netilas yodayim? Well, you need a revius, and the revius is, if you have a vessel that contains a revius of water, not only one person can benefit from it, but even two people can benefit from it, being that originally there was a revius of water in the vessel. A little water is poured over the first person's hands, and the balance of the water can be poured over a second person's hands. So the question is, don't we have now another example of a revius? The Gemara says, yes, it's a good example. However, it doesn't fit into the list that Rebbe Lozer introduced. Beplukta lo komairi. Rebbe Lozer did not want to feature halachas that were the subject of controversy. And in this case, the Rashi points out that Rabbi Yossi disagrees and says that a revius is suitable for one person and not for two people. So, being a topic in which there was a disagreement, Rabbi Yolozer didn't want to include it in his list of 10 revios. Question, and you'll notice the answer to this question and the following question are the same. In other words, we're going to have examples of revius and additional examples. Why did Rebbe Lozer not feature them? Because these examples are, we'll say, controversial, subject of disagreement. The Gemara continues. V'ho'ika mirevius. V'ho'ika hoya mevi fioli shocheres. V'noisein l'soicho chatzi lugmayim in akior. Rabbi Yehuda Omer revius. Now we've dot underlined the word, the key word revius, as we did in the question before. What do we see here? This is a source that deals with the sota woman. This is a woman, a married woman who is suspected of committing an adulterous relationship, intimacy with another man. And she's brought to the Beis HaMikdash, and a ceremony takes place. And in part of the ceremony is her drinking water. There's There's more details. Water with the parsha of the sota erased over it, etc. A lot of details in Emirtz Hashem. In our next Masichta, Masechta Sota, we'll see more about it. But for our purposes, she would drink a certain quantity of water as part of that ceremony. If we translate this for this source, it said, "Oh, maybe fioli shechas." Fioli is a type of receptacle shecheres made of clay, and water would be poured into it from the kior, from the tank of water that stood in the azor of the Beis Hamikdash. Rabbi Yehuda says a revius was used. So why is this not mentioned as part of the list of revios? The Gemara answers, "But plukta lo komayri." And here, the plukta, the disagreement, is stated in our Gemara text. The Tanakhama did not agree with Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is the only one that said revius, and hence Rabbi Lozer, when he presented his list of 10 revios, wasn't interested in including topics that were the subject of a disagreement. Question: V'ha'ika kamo mayim noisein l'secha kol shehu Rabbi Zakkai Omer revius. This is a halacha concerning prayer, davening. A person must daven in a place that is free of filth, specifically waste. In this case, we can talk about human waste that has accumulated in a receptacle. The receptacle you find referred to in other Gemaras, it's called an ovit shelmei raglayim. Tosfos quotes this point. If you had, let us say, an ovit, a receptacle of mei raglayim, of urine, and that is the only place that you have for davening purposes, for prayer, you can neutralize the mei raglayim, the urine, by adding water to it. How much water must one add in order to make it available or prepare the location for prayer? So, in fact, you see the Tanakhama saying even a kolshu, even a negligible amount of water is sufficient. And Rabbi Zakkai says you need to add a revius. Well, but you see again a revius of water, and it how it figures into a legal necessity. The Gemara answers, as I'm sure everyone guessed, Bepluta lo komairi. This too, the amount of water needed to add to the Meiraglayim, is the subject of disagreement, and Rabbi Elazar didn't want to include it in his list. Question, Vaika mikveh. Now, as far as what the Gemara is asking, well, if you look in Rashi, you're going to see an entire list of explanations. We're going to choose one of those explanations simply because Tosfos features it, and it's one of those that you find in Rashi. The Tosfos says, "V'ika revius de mikveh, de chazi bo, a revius of water that's in a mikveh. A mikveh, a pool that's dug into the ground, and if you have a revius of accumulated rainwater, that's sufficient. The hakpil machten v'tzinorios kidamrin b'psochem. Machten and tzinorios are very small metal implements, like needles and pins, little fork-like devices, very small metal items that, in this case, that became defiled, and they need immersion in a mikveh in order to purify them. How much water is sufficient for their immersion? So the source said, or actually the Gemara says, through its question, a revius is sufficient. That's the halacha as alluded to by the Gemara's question. So why is this, namely a revius of water in a mikveh, not taught as part of the list of revius as being functional in creating purification? The Gemara says, bar me'ahi, that is an exception. In other words, it's going to be left out of the list. Debatluha rabbanon. This is a law. We can say it's on the books. However, the rabbanon later voided that. They said, no more. We're not going to rely on a mere revius, but for all immersions that require a mikveh, you have to have a minimum of 40 sa'a. Our boy in sa'a, much larger measure, it's enough water for a human being to enter and immerse his entire body in it. So the revius of water of a mikveh that would have been sufficient isn't going to figure into Rebbe Lozer's list because it's no longer a halacha that is practiced. We continue on Omid Beis. Top of Omid Beis, V'eino chayav elo ad shiyochal minu anovim kezayis. V'chule, the Mishnah went on to say, ad shiyishte revius. Rabbi Kiva Umer afilu shoro pito b'yayim v'yeshbo kedei litzarev kezayis chayav. In our Mishnah, we saw the Tanakhama saying that a person is not going to be guilty of wine consumption, a revius, that is, a nozir. A nozir who is restricted from wine, he, according to the Tanakhama, is not in violation of his nazirus unless he drinks a revius of wine. Rabbi Akiva had a much more, we'll say, stringent approach, and he said that even if you took a piece of bread and soaked the bread in wine, and together the wine bread that you have measures an olive quantity, that if a nozer would consume it, would be guilty. The Gemara explains this controversy. Tanakama lo medami lahon lechol isurei nozir lishtia. The Tanakama does not compare the nozir restrictions of eating to drinking. What we mean by that is, for a nozir to be in violation of his nazirus for eating grapes, even if he ate an olive quantity of grapes, he would be in violation. That's a halacha that concerns eating, not drinking. When it comes to a drinking violation, there he doesn't compare one to the other, and the drinking violation is achieved or is accomplished with a revius of wine. A revius of wine is a greater amount than an olive quantity. Rabbi Akiva, what's his approach? Kevan dechtiv, since the pasuk says, "Vanovim lachim v'yaveshim lo yochel," we've quoted on the side of our Gemara the entire pasuk, Bamidbar perek vov pasuk yemol. Let's read the pasuk on the side of our Gemara. It says, "Miyain v'shecher yazir choymitz yain v'choymitz shecher lo yishte v'chol mishros anovim lo yishte v'anovim lachim v'yaveshim lo yochel." And you see in this pasuk the prohibition of eating for a nazir, the items that he's prohibited eating, are taught together with the prohibition of drinking that applies to a nazir. So the Gemara says, ma achilo kezayis, just like eating is known, an oral tradition, eating violations are violated when you eat an olive quantity of forbidden matter. So af kol isurim kezayis. So to all nausea restrictions, including the drinking of wine, is measured in terms of a kezayis. And you saw how far Rabbi Akiva went. The topic that we saw in our previous lengthy shiur of Heter Mitztaref Le'isur to create a kezayis, an olive quantity. V'chayav al hayayin b'fnei atzmo v'chulei tonu rabbonon anovim lachem v'yaveshim lo yochel. Of course, a quote from the pasuk that we just read. V'chayav al ze b'fnei atzmo v'al ze b'fnei atzmo. If a nozir eats fresh grapes, or if he eats raisins, either or, that would constitute a violation. In other words, one should not read the pasuk thinking that a nozir is in violation only if he eats all of the restricted items. No, even if he eats one of the restricted items mentioned in the pasuk, that will constitute a nozir's violation. Mikan atadon l'chol isurin shebetor. From this, you can extend to all prohibitions in the Torah, all eating type prohibitions. What principle can we develop here and extend it further? It's as follows. Ma kan shumin echad vein shnei shemois. What we see here is one min. Min, a type, a variety. What we are referring to are grapes. Grapes. Min echad. However, hein shnei shemois have two names. What do we mean by that? Specifically, you have lachim, fresh grapes, yavashim, dried ones, raisins. So you have one general category, one min, and then two subcategories. And we say, v'chayav alzeh b'fnei atzmo, v'alzeh b'fnei atzmo. That each one of these subcategories can generate a nozir violation. Af kol, so to any other case, any other place, shumin echo vein shnei shemois, chayav alzeh b'fnei atzmo, v'alzeh b'fnei atzmo. What do you mean when you say so to in other places? Lesuye, this principle comes to include the following. Chamro chadeto v'invi. Again, we're going to stay within the realm of Nazirus. And if a Nazir would consume either one of these items, bearing in mind their min echad. Now, what are they? Chamro chadeto means fresh or unfermented wine. Might be something similar to grape juice. It certainly is something that hasn't sat very long. It's called new wine. It hasn't sat very long in fermentation. So it's basically very sweet. Envy are grapes. They're both sweet, and that is enough for us to categorize them as min echad. I've been hesitating along the way in translating the word min, simply because how to understand it is actually quite, we'll say, flexible when you see its application. So one min, I referred to it before as a general category. Sweet wine, or it's unfermented wine, and grapes, fresh grapes, are called min echon. What's the general category? They're mitukim, they're sweet. The Shnei Shemos aspect is fairly obvious. One is called wine and the other is called grapes. So if a Nozer consumes either one or the other, he would be guilty. Omar Abaye. Here we have a new marking, and on the side of the Gemara we have a Nosei Mivneh heading. Nosei topic heading, Mivneh structural note. The diamond appears Machlokes Abaye V'Rova. Their names are highlighted. Im yesh l'chayev malkis al mikola shiyase migefen benoisef l'malkis al achilz hamoitzer atzmo. In the psukim that deal with nazir, pasuk dalid, namely the pasuk that follows the one that we read already, it says, and we've included this also on the side of the Gemara, Kol yamei nizro mikol asher ye'aseh migefen ayayin michatzan v'atzag lo yochel. In this pasuk it says, mikol asher ye'aseh migefen ayayin, a general type pasuk, anything that's produced from the grapevine, a nozir is prohibited in eating. Does that pasuk represent an additional negative command for which we would punish the violator with a set of lashings for every negative violation that one commits? Knowingly, he is subjected to a set of, we call, 40 lashes, technically 39 lashes. When a nozir consumes one of the forbidden products in the psukim that we have dealt with already, so for any one product, he is guilty of having violated. The pasuk says, "Do not a nozir shall not drink wine." If he drinks wine, so he's of course subjected to a set of malkus. Does the drinking of the wine entail not only the specific prohibition of drinking wine, but it also entails the violation of this negative command of Mikol Ashiyasa Migefen Ayayin. So the note continues, this issue is a machlokes bin Abaye and Rava. Does he subject himself to a set of malchus for Mikol Ashiyasa Migefen benoisif lemalchus alchias hamoitzer atzmo klomar ha'im ho'ichel zag loikesh tayim. Imagine a nazir would eat zag, the grape peels. He would eat an olive quantity of grape peels. So of course he's going to get malchus for that. That's one set. Does he get an additional set of malchus because he has violated mikol asher yeoseh migefen? This approach, by the way, is an approach that you find, of course, in the Mefarshim. But as we go through the Gemara, I want you to know ahead of time that there are other commentaries in how to learn and how to apply the Gemara. You can see the first approach of Rashi is actually different than that which we suggested now. The second approach that you find in Rashi, he has it as an inyan acher, is also the approach that's taken by the Tosfos commentary. So now, back into the Gemara. Omar Abai, Ochal Chartzon, Loikishtayim. Ochalzag loikishtayim. If a nozir ate chartzon, the grape seeds, he's going to be subject to two sets of malchus, 39 lashes each. One for having consumed chartzon. The pasuk says in pasuk dalid, it says mechartzanim ve'adzag lo yochel. So chartzanim, chartzon in the singular, if he eats grape seeds, an olive quantity of grape seeds, he is going to be guilty for that, for eating specifically grape seeds. And the second set of malchus is because the pasuk also says mikol asher ye'aseh migefen, the general pasuk. Ochal zag lo kishayim, likewise if he eats grape peels, an olive quantity of that, he'll be subject for two sets of malchus, one for eating that specific item, zag, and a second set of malchus because of the general prohibition of mikol asher yaseh migefen ayayin. Ochal chartzon vizag loke sholosh. If he eats an olive quantity of grape seeds and an olive quantity of grape peels, that alone warrants two sets of malchus. And a third, loke sholosh, means that three sets, because the third set is because in doing that, in eating the chartzon and the zag, he's also in violation of the general pasuk mikol asher yaseh migefen ayayin. Rava omar eino loke elo achas. For eating chartzon, one set of malchus. For eating zag, only one set of malchus. She'eino loike alav shebecholos. Lav, negative commands that are featured in the Torah, that are stated in a general nature, one will not get malchus for their violation. This pasuk mikol asher yaseh migefen, when you read that phrase, it doesn't specify in those words what. It just says anything produced from the grapevine is prohibited. That's, we'll say, it's too general, so to speak. It's a general prohibition. And according to Rava, lav shebecholos, a klal, is a general principle or general statement that doesn't generate a malchus punishment. As we continue, we have a new marking scheme, triangles that you will see appear in alternating directions. So on the side, we've indicated this is a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of a give and take, with the point facing up. These are kushos, there'll be questions on Abaye, and the inverted triangle represents tshuva's responses. Another marking that we want to mention is the bow tie shape. You'll see that in the bow tie, Rav Popo's name is featured. On the side of our Gemara, you'll also notice an aleph and beis. These are explained on the side. Beis shlovim, two stages by Rav Popo. Rav Popo will be presented, as we say, in two stages. Echad, Aleph, Makshe al Abaye mibraisa. We're going to see Rapapa asking on Abaye from a Tanaic source. De katani ba loike chomesh below sheish. The source will say that a nazir who violated a number of different violations will be subjected to five sets of malchus. And the number five corresponds to the number of specific violations. It says in the source five, and there's no reference to a sixth set for having violated the general kol asher yalsa migefen ayayin. So if it says five and it doesn't say six, that would indicate that there's no malchus for the kol asher yalsa violation. Abaye says that kol asher yalsa, when violated, does generate a separate set of malchus. There will be a back and forth discussion where at the end of the back and forth discussion we'll say that Abaye provides, the Gemara provides a response on behalf of Abaye. So Abaye is not affected by this Tanaic source. Why? That, of course, we'll see in the course of the Gemara. And then we see an amazing turnaround. An amazing thing happens in the Gemara. And we continue reading our note. Bay, second stage of Rav Papa. Achar kach, Rav Papa megale. Afterwards, Rav Papa will reveal to us Shelo kotani bebraisa chomesh, that in the source that he raised as a question, originally the word chomesh, which was the crux of the question, the word chomesh doesn't even appear. It was the word chomesh that supposedly presented a problem to Abaye, but the word doesn't even appear. V'yazbir lomim kein hikshe mimen el Abaye. Well, if the problematic word doesn't appear, why did you ask from that source to begin with? That will be explained at the top of Lamed Tes Amud Aleph. Now the Gemara. Mosiv Rav Papa. Rav Papa asks a question. We have it noted as a long question on Abaye. Rav Elozer Omer. Nozir shoyashoysa yayin kol hayom. A nozir who was drinking wine all day. Eino chayov elo achas. He would be subject or liable to only one set of malchus. Basically only one violation. Ah, he consumed many revi'iyos. Revi'is is the liquid measure of wine representing a violation for the nozir. He drank many revi'iyos. Well, he's going to be subject to only one offense. Assuming, of course, he was warned at the beginning of the day, do not drink wine. And he did. Even if he drank all day, one set of malchus. However, Omru lo al tishte v'ushoise. Before every cup of wine, a revius of wine, before every cup of wine, he was warned, do not drink it. You know, you're a nazir, you are not allowed to drink it. And he drank. And again, as we said, before every cup, warned, violated, chayav al kol achas v'achas. That situation generates a separate set of malchus for each cup drank that was preceded with a warning not to. Ochal anovim lachim, v'yaveshim, chartzanim, v'zagim, v'sochat eshkul shel anovim shosa. A nozir was warned, do not consume these things. And he went ahead and ate fresh grapes, raisins, grape seeds, grape peels, and grape juice. The number five was it says that he squeezed out a cluster of grapes producing what we call grape juice and drank that. Five different prohibited nozir items. Loike chomesh. Five sets of malchus. Ihachi, if Abaye is correct, that in addition to specific nozir violations, there is a set of malchus for the general violation of Mikol HaShe'asa Migefen Ayayin. Luki Sheish means there should have been six sets of lashings. achas, an additional set, al mikol asher yeh. The Gemara says, in truth, there would be six. Why did the source not mention that? Tana v'shir. The Tana teaches a list of violations, and he left this out. The Gemara says, well, my shir da high shir. You cannot answer, he left this out, unless he left other things out. If you have a list of items, and one item was left out of the list, that would appear to be a deliberate deletion. If, however, more than one item is left out of the list, we don't say that it was a deliberate deletion, but rather, we have a list that's incomplete. So when you give this answer, and this applies throughout the entire Shas, when you give this answer to a Taneg source, that it's a source that is incomplete, something has been left out, at least two items would have to be left out of the list in order to justify that answer of it was left out. So our question then is okay, you listed here five sets of malchus, and you are saying that Kol HaShiyaseh also would have been guilty, but it was left out of the list. Well, what else was left out? Answer, Shir lo yachel devoro. The Torah warns against one who vowed not to violate his vow. Nazirus is a type of vow. Drinking wine or consuming grapes and grapevine products is a violation. And it says, the Torah says, lo yachel, do not profane, do not violate your words. So you see that there's an additional negative command that was left out. Hence, an incomplete list. Hence, no question on Abaye. The Gemara asks, Imi shum hai lav shiuru. If this is your, we'll say, candidate for other item deleted, that is not an answer. It's not considered a deletion. Ki kotoni, this source teaches, when it teaches, midi delo isei beduch dachriti. This is a Tanaic source that speaks of violations that you do not find in other topics. Lo yachel dvoro isei benedorim. Lo yachel dvoro is not unique to Nazirus. It's a violation that applies across the boards to all kinds of vows. And that wasn't the interest of this Tanaic author to begin with. So it's not considered something that has been left out, absent from the list. So therefore, what are we looking for? We're looking for, in order to justify Abaye, we're looking for something in addition to Mikol HaShiyaseh Migefen HaYayin, an additional violation that is unique to a Nazir. The Gemara says, well, I have something for you. Omar Le Ravino Mi Parzakya Le Ravashi. Ravina from the community of Parzakya says to Ravashi, Vashir de Bein HaBeinayim. Bein HaBeinayim is an item that we've seen before. Rashi refers to Daf Lamed Aleph Beis, and there Bein HaBeinayim was mentioned. Rashi there explained it's a type of jelly-like substance that you find around the grape seeds, between the grape seeds and the grape peel. There's a jelly-like substance from which shmorim are made. Shmorim is, in modern Hebrew, it's referred to yeast. It's probably that which is used for fermenting dough. So, if a nozir would eat bein habeinayim, that gelatinous substance, he would be in violation. And that's not mentioned in the list. So just like that is not mentioned, Kol HaShir Simi Gefen Ayayin is not mentioned, but this does not suggest that it would not result in a set of lashes. So Abaye's position is preserved. Elo Omar Rav Papa. Now, Rav Papa at the beginning of this discussion came to attack Abaye. Here Rav Papa has his turnaround, and he says, Lo Tanyo Midi Chomesh. The source that I originally, through which I challenged Abaye, by virtue of the fact that it says that there are five sets of lashings, the word five doesn't even exist in the Tanaic source. So the source simply told us of a number of different items that would result in a nazir violation, but it doesn't, and it says he gets lashed, but it doesn't say how many lashings. So as far as the Tanaic source is concerned, no number is mentioned. It could be an additional set of lashings for Mikosh Yasami Geffen, just like Abaye said. The Gemara asks, V'ha, we continue at the top of Lamed Tesamet Aleph, Oisvei Chomesh, but Rav Papa originally asked from the source based on the fact that it said Chomesh, U'me'achad lo tanya Chomesh, my time Oisvei. And now that you tell me that the source never had the word Chomesh in it, why did he even ask from it on Abaye to begin with? There's no basis of any question if it doesn't have the word Chomesh in it. Now the answer. A fascinating answer. There's a great deal of depth in this answer regarding, we'll say, a Talmudic approach, Talmudic thinking. Amar Rav Papa Ano Savri Lav Gemora Hi Biyodei V'Hodar Bei. I thought that Abaye had come up with this idea on his own that Mikosh Yasami Geffen Hayayin, this general negative command is the source of an additional set of Malkus. It's something that he came up with on his own, and it wasn't, as the Gemara says, Lav Gemora Hi Biyodei. It wasn't a tradition that he had. And if that were in fact the case, it was something that he came up with on his own, I would be able to, let's say, derail him. It's apparently Rav Papa himself was not convinced that there could be Malkus on a Lav Shebecholus. And being that Rav Papa was doubtful of that, and simultaneously thinking that Abaye had come up with that on his own, he said, "I'm going to throw him a curveball. I'm going to present to him basically a non-existent Tanaic source and see what happens. And if it's something that he had come up with on his own, and he would hear this Tanaic source, so he would back off of what he was saying, i.e. that which he was saying on his own. Veloyodano de Gemora hi biyodei velo hadarbe. I didn't know, says Rav Papa, that this was a tradition that he had, handed down from his rabbis, and they in turn from their rabbis. I didn't know it was an oral tradition, and he wasn't going to back off of it just because of some source that I was citing. In fact, a non-existent source. What one has to analyze here, and this is beyond the purview of our Gemara markings shiur, is that what's implied is that even if there was a Tanaic source, but Abaye had an oral tradition saying otherwise, that oral tradition would seem to be stronger than the Tanaic source. One possible avenue of resolving that problem, because generally speaking, a Tanaic source is viewed as a very strong, basis of challenging Amoraic comments. What could very well be is that Abaye would question the veracity, the authenticity of any source quoted to him that would run against his oral tradition. We know that throughout the Shas, you find Tanaic sources that are, refuted or dismissed because they had not gone through, or they weren't processed in the yeshivas of Rabbi Chiya or Rav Hoshaya. Rabbi Chiya and Rav Hoshaya are significant rabbinic figures that lived at the transition from the Tanaic period into the Amoraic period. They authored or edited Brises, these Tanaic sources that, expound upon Mishnayos. And their sources are understood to have been, seen and approved by Rebbe. They carry with them very significant authority. However, other brises that were not taught in the yeshivas of Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Ashaya, they will say are weaker in their strength, and it could very well be that this is what our Gemara is alluding to, that if an Amora has an oral tradition and it's not something that he came up with on his own, that would hold more weight in their minds than Tanaic sources that are quoted against them. And the assumption that I'm making now is that in the minds of those Amoraim, they would feel, or they could possibly prove, that the sources being quoted against them were not those brises that were taught in the yeshivas of Reb Chiya and Reb Hoshaya. We got a little bit off the topic, but this particular line is very curious and does require further analysis. Because what you're seeing here is that in the face of an oral tradition, Abaye did not back off of what seemed to be a Tanaic text, Tanaic source. Thankfully for Abaye, Rav Papa revealed that the source really never existed in the first place. We continue in the Gemara, where it alludes to a discussion in the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Daled Amud Beis regarding the identity of the items mentioned in the pasuk that says that a nazir is prohibited mi-chartzanim va'ad zag. And in the Mishnah there were two opinions of what that is: chartzanim and zag. So in our Mishnah we saw Reb Yossi saying that the outer one is the zag, and the inner one, the seeds, in other words, the grape peel is the zag, and the grape seeds are the chartzanim. And Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah even gave us a simen. Remember the bell of a cow. And the bell of a cow, a bell has the outer part and the inner part, called the, in English we call it the clapper. The outer part of a bell in Hebrew is called the zag. So with that memory device, or that analogy, you'll always remember that zag is the grape peel. That, of course, is Rabbi Yossi's approach. The previous opinion in the Mishnah said the opposite. Omar Rav Yosef, Keman Mitargaminon, based on which Tana does the Aramaic, was a traditional Aramaic translation of the Torah, the Targum as it's referred to. Rav Yosef, by the way, was an expert. He was blind, and he became expert in the Targum of the Torah. The Torah says, Mechartzanim v'adzag. And Rav Yosef says, according to whom is the Targum, we're familiar with the Targum Unklus, for example. Based on which Tana does the Targum say in Aramaic, Miputzanin v'ad Itzurin. Purtzanin and Itzurin are Aramaic words that parallel Chartzanim v'ad Zag. Now, Purtzanin, if you were an Aramaic speaker, you would know that's seeds. So when the Torah says that the Nazir shall not eat mi chartzanim, and the Aramaic of chartzanim is purtzanin, seeds, so chartzanim, who of the Tanoim said chartzanim are the seeds? And itzurin, that's a reference to the grape peels. And grape peels, in Aramaic, itzurin, Hebrew, zag. Who said the grape peel, the grape skin, is referred to as zag? Rabbi Yossi. That was Rabbi Yossi, and he had the analogy to the bell. The bell, the outer part of the bell, is called the zag. Hence, the Targum that Rabbi Yossi refers to is based on Rabbi Yossi's opinion of what those words mean. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.